You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Romillo, credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. It's Wednesday. The United States government is in shambles and no one wants to talk about basketball, but maybe we could all use a little bit of a distraction. So I'm continuing my exit interviews from last season, breaking down each player's strengths and weaknesses and looking ahead at what happens with them next season. Of course, make sure to check out previous episodes if you haven't already, and please leave a review about the show. Today's guest is a familiar voice, my former co-host, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News and Rick Barry's best friend. It's Wes Goldberg. How are you holding up?
I'm pretty good. It was a pretty wild day. I talked to Rick Barry for an hour, which was a little intimidating. And then a few hours after that, I got to witness whatever it is that this election has been so far. So I haven't slept very much. I've either been up checking the polls or and the Electoral College counts or having bad dreams about Rick Barry pounding me into the ground.
Rick Barry doesn't always come across as that aggressive. Is he that type of person? To you, is that how you kind of picture him?
No, he was actually really friendly. It was a nice conversation that I had with him. And, you know, it's on Locked On Warriors, but if anybody's just interested in hot takes and some basketball history and Rick Barry in general, I mean, it was a pretty good conversation. Yeah, he's like really into fly fishing now, which I thought was interesting. Right. So that was my takeaway from that conversation.
Well, that seems like something that older white people always seem to gravitate towards is fly fishing. I don't know. I'm not envisioning that anytime soon in my future, but who knows?
Something that Goldbergs don't do is fly fishing, or just that we try not to get wet with clothes on very much.
Anyway, moving on to Heat basketball talk. I gave you your pick of several players to talk about. And you chose the one who has braids in his hair, is dating an Instagram model, and might be the world's most interesting rookie. We're talking about Tyler Hero, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, Tyler, you know, not too long ago, we talked about our draft analysis of Tyler and how no one expected him to be an impact player immediately. There were concerns about his size, about his defense, his playmaking, and his ability to adjust to NBA levels of physicality. So Hero goes and responds by having the best rookie season in Heat franchise history. Overall, I don't think there's anything that you can say that is too much of a superlative about his past season, because he was very, very good. Like he was the real deal in a way that nobody expected him to be. And I think that's the biggest takeaway for me, is how immediately he felt comfortable in the situation at 19 years of age. And he was plugged in after one season of Kentucky and wound up being a productive player for Miami. And to the degree where it was easier to put Goran Dragic on the bench, it was easier not to play Dion Waiters at all, that you could start Kendrick Nunn and you could still have sufficient scoring and a competent shooter off the bench in a guy like Hero.
Yeah, and look, the thing that we talk about with Hero all the time is that confidence, right? And the fact that he's willing to shoot a shot after he's missed a shot, and he's showing up in fourth quarters, and he's not afraid of the big stage of the playoffs, the finals. And look, I get all of that, and all that's like really cool and dope, and it makes him as a very, very fun and entertaining player to watch. But I think we lose a little bit of the other stuff with him, as far as like, it's not just the fact that he's confident. Like, anybody can be confident and still miss a bunch of shots, right? And I think about this year, you know, that word was thrown around a lot with Jordan Poole, who was the 28th pick in the draft by the Warriors. And everybody kept talking about how confident Jordan Poole is. Well, Jordan Poole was the worst shooter in the league for the year of 2019. Like, from October to December, he was the worst shooter in the NBA. And so nobody really cared about that confidence anymore, because the shots weren't going in. And for Hero, the shots were going in. He was an immediate factor, like you said. And I kind of wonder if it's not so much the eye test with Hero that we should be giving the Heat credit for. I do think that there's a little bit of an analytics deep dive with him. And this is just me guessing. Like, there's no reporting behind this at all. But we know that they've kind of established a analytics department under Shane Battier. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they look at things like his ability to not just shoot three-pointers and that raw percentage, but his ability to shoot off the catch, shoot off of handoffs. If they're going deep into what it is that he does well and how that fits into the way that they want to play, right? And that's why I think he was such an immediate contributor for them. I don't know that he would have been that on any team. I don't know if you stick him on the Houston Rockets and just ask him to stand in the corner and make threes, that he would have had as good as a season. But his ability to put the ball on the ground, make mid-range shots, shoot off the catch, shoot coming off of screens and off of handoffs and all these things, I think those very specific percentages, those very specific strengths, I think lend themselves well to what the Heat wanted to do and sort of their vision for what they thought this roster would be after acquiring Jimmy Butler and starting Bam Adebayo. I want to give the Heat a lot of credit for something that I'm guessing they did, but it wouldn't shock me if they did either because the framework is there.
That is an interesting point. I don't think anybody has actually brought up. So you brought an outsider's perspective somewhat, and I think hit the nail on the head. Like he, you know, we talked about this in an episode yesterday that I recorded about Jay Crowder, because when his shots started to, you know, regress to the norm, we started to see that he wasn't as much of a factor in that offense, that he couldn't be playable. And that partly is because there's nothing else that he brings from an offensive standpoint. Like he's not a guy who can make plays for others. He doesn't pass the ball. He can't come off screens. For Tyler, even if that shot's not falling, and there were plenty of games where that shot did not fall, he can still do other things. And we saw that more and more in the bubble as he became more of a playmaker. He's a guy who can, as you said, come off screens, who can work the dribble handoff, who can put the ball down on the floor and create shots for himself and others. And I think that's the next step, and something we'll talk about a little bit later as well. You know, we'll talk about how much more he can improve as a playmaker, but he already took a substantial leap in that regard. And I think you hit a very good point there regarding his fit on this team. And maybe they saw something early on because of Jimmy's unheralded playmaking. Like everybody talks about his all-star level defense and everything else, but he's always been a very, very good passer, an underrated playmaker. And Miami's identity kind of molded after that and Bam Adebayo. Of course, you remove Hassan Whiteside from the equation, all of a sudden you have a much more pass-happy offense where everybody's moving the ball around, and you kind of need players who fit into that mold. And I think for me, you get a lot of that from Tyler. And look, I mean, he did shoot extremely well. It's not just about confidence. It's about fit. It's about his ability to be able to score at a high level. And he does so many of those things very well. So that was an interesting point you brought up there.
And look, I think there's also something to reference my conversation again with Rick Barry. I asked him what he looks for when he's looking at, you know, draft prospects and just players in general. And he says it all starts with basketball feel. And this is something that I've been pounding the table on for years now. Like, I don't really care what your vertical is or how big you are. How many times do we see some guy who walks into the NBA with a LeBron James body, 6'7", 240, completely chiseled, and just doesn't, and is out of the league in 2 years, right? Like, it happens all the time because they don't have any basketball feel. They don't have a high basketball IQ. They just, for whatever reason, aren't very comfortable on the floor the way that the highest the highest end players in the league are. And that's something that also stands out with Tyler Hero. So now I think you have that combination of the fact that his skill set meshes perfectly with what the Heat were looking for. But I also think that the Heat were higher on Hero's upside than a lot of other teams in that draft, because they saw the basketball feel. They saw that this guy just has an ability to find shots in the mid-range area, to knows when to shoot, when to put the ball on the floor, know when to force it for his own shot and do all these other things. And the fact that he competes on defense, even if he's got a long ways to go on that end, he competes, which is half the battle on defense, really. You know, we get all into, again, wingspan and vertical and, you know, all this stuff. It's like the guy has to actually care about playing defense. So, I just think they saw all these things and came to the conclusion that Tyler Hero has a ton of upside because we trust this feel. We trust this competitive edge, which sounds cliche, but it's not. But we're also going to give him the opportunity to tap into that potential because he's going to play a lot for us, play meaningful minutes, and be a real contributor for this team that we think is going to go to the playoffs. So I think it was really just a perfect fit. Mm-hmm. You credit Hero for everything that he's done, and yes, the work ethic, yes, and all that stuff is absolutely real. I'm not trying to like kind of to wash over that, but it was the right context, I think, for player and for team. And I just think that Hero knocked it out of the park this year as far as being able to deliver on all those things that the Heat wanted him to deliver on.
Yeah, and you brought up the work ethic, and I think that was a big part of their conversation. At least what they've said publicly is how they've had those conversations with John Calipari, the head coach over at Kentucky, and how he raved about his work ethic and everything else like that. And now you're starting to see a trend as far as the Heat are concerned of drafting Kentucky guys. You have an Adebayo taken a few years ago. Now you have Hero. And while they're not able to showcase their skills to their fullest in Kentucky, there's a well of untapped potential there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's starting to be maximized. You have a franchise like Miami that is well known for being able to develop players and get the best out of their players. And I think you have all that talent in Kentucky. It seems like it makes a lot of sense. Even now in this year's draft, you have a number of Kentucky guards that are already on allegedly or reportedly on Miami's radar. And I think that's interesting. And I brought up this point before. I think when you and I talked, I spoke to a trainer who works here in South Florida. He's worked with a number of NBA players, and including Tyler Hero during the hiatus. And he loved his work ethic. Like, he raved about it in a way that very few people talk about NBA players. Like, yeah, they love to work, but Hero actually really embraces it in a way that very few players do. And he also said that he views Hero eventually reaching a multi-time all-star status. And that's pretty impressive because, again, he is only 20 and he does have a lot of room for growth. But there were some weaknesses in his game, and we'll have to talk about those in the next segment when we talk about what he could have done a little bit better and a great rookie season overall. So stay tuned. You're listening to Locked On Heat. If you're looking for a healthy snack, then Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, and that's the snack for you. Their improved Built Bar is even more delicious than ever before. 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new ones. All of them are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and of course, they're healthy. They're great for health-conscious people. If you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, then Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for all sorts of diets, filled with all the nutrients that you're looking for. And right now, best of all, if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. So use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Stay up to date on the latest roster changes, rumors, and more by subscribing to the show on your favorite app to listen to podcasts, and always get the latest episode by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat when you get in your car to get your team every day. For me, and I know I've talked about this, I feel like I keep beating that drum when it comes to Hero. I know the variance in his shooting is something you have to live with. Unfortunately, I keep referring to that inconsistency. I've talked about it with, in terms of Kelly Olynyk. I think that's been an unfortunate blemish on a solid career from him dating back to his Celtics day. But with Hero, you start to see some of that as well. There was a 4-game stretch in December that I think stands out to me. In the first two games, he scored a total of 49 points on 50% shooting, including 7 of 18 on 3-point attempts. The next two games, he scores a total of 7 points on 3 of 18 overall shooting. And that's a huge disparity. And now maybe it's the travel catching up to him. Maybe it's, who knows, maybe he could have gotten into a fight or something like that. Maybe his head's not in it. Maybe he hits that quote-unquote rookie wall, all these different things. But there are a number of different games throughout the course of last season where he had a huge game and followed that up with a not so great game.
Yeah, look, the streakiness is going to be there. I'm really not that concerned with it. You tend to you know, iron that stuff out with the more experience. One guy that I kind of compare Tyler Hero to is Jamal Murray. And Jamal Murray was a lot like that, you know, the first 3 years of his career. It was just, he was kind of all over the place during the regular season, but then the playoffs, he became like playoff Jamal Murray. And mm-hmm. I could really see that over the next couple of years with Tyler Hero, where over the course of the regular season, he might have a 3-game stretch like that here and there. He might not be able to be your number one option on offense because of that. But in the playoffs, the dude just steps up. And I wouldn't be shocked if that's sort of the career arc that he takes. But we're seeing now with Jamal Murray that dude's a legit, you know, player. And I don't even know if the Nuggets would trade him for Bradley Beal at this point. And I don't think the Heat should try, by the way, should trade Tyler Hero for Bradley Beal. That's not the kind of player. I think Hero could be better than Beal. I really do.
Let's put a pin on that, because that's something I want to talk about in the next segment. But as far as the tradability is concerned, but as far as overall cons, I mean, would you say that inconsistency in shooting is a con, or it's just something that happens as a 19-year-old rookie and it will eventually improve and flatten out?
Yeah, I think it's going to flatten out. I'm really, you see that all the time with guys. You just, the older you get, the more experience in the NBA you get, the more that tends to iron out. I'm not that worried about it. The dude could flat out shoot, you know? So I'm not really like, we're not talking about Marcus Smart here, who's kind of got like a weird, unnatural jumper. Like Tyler Herro's a natural scorer. So I think that stuff's going to come along. When I look at him, I wonder what position he's going to play. I don't know how important that is on a team like the Heat, who basically have Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo running the offense.
Right.
But I do think Tyler Herro's future might be at point guard.
I agree.
Just given his size and his ability. And he needs to get a lot better as a passer. And part of that is getting to the rim more. He only averaged like 1.8 free throw attempts per game last year. Yeah. That was a big knock on him coming into the NBA, is that he doesn't really get to the rim. He doesn't have the athleticism to get to the rim. So that's partly the problem. But he also doesn't really finish through contact. He tends to shy away from the contact. He's got this incredible touch even by the rim. Yes. So he can kind of get away with it. But at some point, he's probably going to have to put an elbow into somebody's chest or put a shoulder into somebody's chest and go ahead and get and take the foul. At least more than he does right now. So I think you combine that ability to get to the rim with an ability to maybe drive and kick. And I think you can kind of bring everything together as far as being able to facilitate and being able to get to the rim more often. I think that's really the next level, because he's not really a three level scorer right now. He's really a two level scorer from beyond the arc and from like the mid range area, long twos. If he can incorporate some of those more efficient shots at the rim more often and get to the free throw line a little bit more, because he's a great free throw shooter, I think you could see his game go up a whole nother level.
I'm not sure why he doesn't get more free throws. I don't know that if he's necessarily shying away. And I think he does get to the rim a lot, and watching him pretty regularly, it's not like he's avoiding it altogether. I think he's feels more comfortable just taking that quick stop, step back, mid-range jumper. Certainly he can do it from beyond the arc as well. But even when he does get to the rim, like if you're going to say, it's almost like it's tied together, the lack of drawing contact at the same time, the lack of playmaking to a certain degree, because there is no shot that he's not willing to take. Like we've seen him take right. some crazy shots that should be on the And-One mixtape tour or something like that, because it's just high off the glass with an incredible amount of spin with this ridiculous angle that just shouldn't fall. And somehow he does, or at least makes a pretty earnest attempt. And that's the kind of thing that to me is a little mind boggling. And I wonder, from Eric Spoelstra's perspective, like he said about it publicly before, and he told media about how he loves that kind of confidence and everything else. And I guess you just have to sort of live with that kind of shooting ability, because I mean, yeah. There are times he's going to take that shot and he's going to make it. And what can you do but just kind of roll your eyes and go, well, shit, that's a hell of a shot.
Well, we're talking it through right now, and kind of what they did with Duncan Robinson, right? Where he came in as a pretty good three-point shooter. And rather than just say, hey, you're a pretty good three-point shooter, let's get you better on defense, let's get you better on attacking closeouts and be a 3-and-D kind of guy, they said, let's double down on the three-point shooting. You can be the best three-point shooter in the league, which he was last year.
Yeah.
Maybe that might be the similar kind of thought process with Tyler Herro. Is you're 6'2", 6'3". You're not a crazy athlete. We're not going to ask you to
actually.
He's 6'5".
Yeah, well, he doesn't look it. Like even talking to him, yeah, he doesn't even talk. Looking at him, he doesn't even look like he's 6'5". But yes, it's weird.
He plays like he's 6'2". and maybe that's just part of his game, right? Like instead of asking him to all of a sudden become, Russell Westbrook and try to be like this physical athlete who's just drawing fouls at the rim all the time, maybe they're just saying, you know what, you've got amazing touch from like 6 feet to 25 feet. Just do that. Don't try to draw fouls. Don't get injured. Don't do all these other things. Maybe that's what they're doing, which would be fair. That, like I said, that was the knock against him coming into the NBA, was that he doesn't get to the line. He's not really great at getting to the rim and all these things and finishing through contact. Maybe the Heat just said, the hell with it. We don't need you to do that. And they didn't. He was so good as a rookie. They didn't need him to do that. So I don't know that that's as big as a need as even what I just said before, even though I think that if you're going to make him a point guard, you could still afford to do a little bit more of that Goran Dragic type of, get to the basket, kind of loop around and do those things. And I think the more he gets used to NBA defenses, the more he's able to use some of these head fakes and shoulder fakes and just, the intricacies of the game and continue to develop that footwork, which is already really good. He'll be able to do that. I'm not so concerned with that. And like you said, The guy's a workaholic. He's going to work on that stuff. He's not going to all of a sudden become a ridiculous athlete, but he can work on the subtle things that Goran Dragic has, like a guy like Luka Doncic has, where, you know, it's those head fakes and those shoulder fakes and those dribble moves and the off-kilter speeds and all that stuff. He can work on those things. Jimmy Butler did the same thing. He can work on those things in order to become a more dynamic player offensively.
Now, 47% of his field goal attempts came from beyond the arc. Conversely, only 12% from within 0 to 3 feet of the rim. And he did convert almost 59% of those. So not a bad percentage at finishing around the rim. Just doesn't take a high frequency of those. So he's certainly something he can lean into. And now you hinted at it in the previous segment as far as the defensive issues. And I think you kind of summed it up pretty well there. He does make earnest attempts. I don't know. Like, I had this conversation even in a previous exit interview about Goran. I think the knock on Goran is that he's a bad defender. And I know that there are glaring holes there on occasion, but he does try in a way that I don't think Kendrick Nunn does. And Tyler, I think, kind of fits that same mold a little bit, where he is a guy who intercepts passing lanes. He has really good timing on rebounding. And I think he's pretty good at being able to intercept passes or break up passes. We saw that a number of times in the postseason. As far as staying in front of your quicker guards, maybe that's a problem for him, especially if you're a little bit more big, a little more physical. He's probably not going to be able to contend the shot as well. He's probably going to get into some foul trouble. Maybe that's the next step as far as his evolution as a defender, is being able to absorb that contact a little bit better, because he does have the footwork on offense, as you pointed out, just hasn't necessarily translated into the defensive end.
Yeah, he needs to get bigger, stronger, right? Because he's going to get switched. I mean, we saw this in the finals. Like, LeBron James was targeting him and Duncan Robinson over and over again. And it's not, like, for lack of trying. It's just when you're going up against guys like LeBron and Kawhi Leonard or James Harden, these kind of guys, they're huge, they're strong, they're fast. It's really hard to stay in front of them. And I just think with Hero, just get a little bit bigger, and that'll come. Like, the guy's, like you said, 19 years old. He's going to get bigger. He's going to be in the weight room. We know this. Like, he's probably never going to be able to guard LeBron James one-on-one, but he could do a little bit better. But I think the big question with this, if the Heat's backcourt of the future is going to be Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, one of them needs to develop into a plus defender. And I think of the two of them right now, Hero's the better defender, but Duncan Robinson might have more upside just given his size.
Yes.
But he really Duncan Robinson really struggles to stay in front of people who are faster. He needs to improve that footwork. He needs to improve some of the hip fluidity and all that kind of stuff if he's going to get much better on that end. But of those, like, they need one of those guys to develop into a plus defender, because it's going to be really hard to guard at the highest level if those two guys are defending the point of attack.
Conversely, Duncan at 26 probably – it's not that he can't make that growth or leap, but just less likely to do so than 20-year-old Tyler Hero. But we'll talk about what's next for him. Is Tyler untouchable in a trade? We'll also debate that in the next segment before looking at a recent report that might have Tyler playing in front of his hometown fans. Just a reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. The recent report is from Ashley Nicole Moss, a reporter and the host of the Greek Zone radio show. On Tuesday, she tweeted that Tyler Hero is not untouchable, according to sources in the Heat organization, in pursuit of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and that Giannis is prepared to sign a long-term deal in Miami. Perhaps I buried the lead there a little bit. Antetokounmpo reportedly willing to sign a deal in Miami is obviously the big story. I can't confirm that. I have not heard from anybody that's in the works or is imminent, but I think it speaks to the bigger question about Tyler's tradability, something that's been hotly debated by Heat Twitter over the offseason, or maybe even since the hiatus. We kind of looked at everything that he's done and everything that he's accomplished in his 1 year. And it's kind of easy to say, well, this is a player that we want to build our team around, or at least have be a key player. He's a lot of fun. I've spoken about it many times, how everybody in the America Airlines Arena just loves watching him shoot. They live and die with each shot. He's become a fan favorite very quickly. So as far as the tradability thing is concerned, you kind of hinted at it before as well. Yeah, if you're going to make a move for Giannis Antetokounmpo, everybody other than Jimmy and Bam and maybe Duncan Robinson is on the table. Aside from that, I think, yes, Tyler is somebody you probably want to keep on your roster unless it's for a superstar level player. Even as reports came out, I think from Shams Charania earlier today, that Jrue Holiday is being shopped around by the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm not sure that Tyler for Jrue is a good move considering Jrue's limited offense. I think it's not much of an improvement other than on the defensive end. And I think you can kind of live with it knowing that, again, that Tyler at 20 years old has some upside, has some potential, and is certainly a better scorer than Holiday ever will be throughout his career.
Yeah, I kind of did this exercise. There's not a whole lot of players that I would trade Tyler Hero for right now. And as far as the Giannis thing is concerned, I don't know why this idea of trading for Giannis keeps coming up. If the Heat are going to get him, they're just going to sign him as a free agent in 2021. Like, Milwaukee's not trading him. They're going to try to win a championship with him right now.
That's what I've heard.
If Giannis is willing to sign a long-term deal with the Heat, great, do it next year. Like, right. That sounds awesome. And then you'll have him, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, Duncan, you'll have everybody, Jimmy Butler. I think the other guy that always comes up, I mean, you mentioned Jrue Holiday. No, I wouldn't move Tyler Hero for Jrue Holiday. Jrue Holiday is 30 years old. And you would say that that might fit within Miami's window. And this is the part that I'm interested in with the Heat. What do they really think their championship window is? Because to me, I think you can make the argument that they could win a championship in the next 2 years if they make the right moves. And certainly in 2021, I think that that's the season where you say, let's go get a max guy.
That might be the kind of bookend to your previous statement, though, is as to why they might be willing to do a trade for Giannis, is that you've got a 4-year contract for Jimmy. You're not sure what's going to happen as far as his continuing deterioration from a health perspective. Goran, like I've made this point before, he hasn't said it, but he could ultimately retire. Like that, the reality is, after what we saw happen to him in the playoffs, he might not come back, and that is another reason why I also mentioned that to the Locked On Pelicans host. You know, I thought maybe with Goran's potential health being an issue, maybe the need to acquire a point guard or a starting caliber player might be a little bit more pressing. And if that's the case, then maybe the Holiday move makes sense. As far as Antetokounmpo is, again, you've got a limited window here with Jimmy. You're signing him to a 4-year deal. You've got the next 3 seasons to make it count. He pushed himself as far as he could go. I'm not sure if you want to risk maybe being an early round exit next season and not necessarily being a contender if you just run this team back. As much as we all want to see this team return at full strength, maybe they need to take another step as far as making a big move. And, you know, Pat Riley, as much as we all love the 2003-04 season and watching Lamar and Caron Butler play alongside rookie Dwayne Wade, none of that shit mattered, because as soon as Shaquille O'Neal was upset in Los Angeles, they packaged everybody's ass to get Shaq. And I think that's
right.
That's what they'll do this season as well. They can't afford to take any chances with Jimmy, knowing what has limited, you know, window here for winning a title. And I think the all of a sudden last year, everybody became much more aware that their title contention window was a lot smaller than they had previously thought. They were all putting their eggs in the 2021 basket. It didn't quite work out that way.
Dominoes in the basket, David.
I just totally forgot. I was like, yeah, they put their dominoes in the 2021 basket. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. See, this is where I don't think that they should be that short-sighted. Look, I understand the need and the want to say, you know what, we were in the finals, let's go for it. I think that's a mistake. I don't know that the Heat are at that. I don't know that that player is available to them right now, for number one. So that's one thing. Like, if Giannis was like, trade me right now, this would be a real conversation worth having. But I don't see that player out there who would make a significant difference to them. Even Bradley Beal isn't really being talked about as a real trade target until maybe the deadline. And I don't know that Beal moves the needle enough to turn Miami into a title favorite. So, but signing Giannis in 2021 would do that. I think there's two windows that the Heat need to be cognizant of. It's the immediate one with Jimmy Butler being where he is. And then there's the patient one where you've got Bam Adebayo, who right now is one of the best, you know, certainly one of the best 18 players in the league. And then you've got Tyler Hero, where if they think he could be what, like they think he could be better than Devin Booker. And if that's so, then you've got two top 15 players plus, you know, Jimmy Butler for as long as he's going to be good, plus whatever Duncan Robinson turns into, plus whoever you get in 2021, I think that there's a long-term play here that you'd want to keep in mind. We know that Pat Riley has always wanted to put something together that can be, you know, that can sustain success over the course of a decade plus. And I think when you talk about Riley and what he wants to leave, ultimately, he wants to leave a team that didn't just, I don't think, go for it all for 1 year, sell everybody at their highest price, and just put a couple superstars together and win a championship. I think he wants to build something that can sustain, that can win it, that can be in the NBA finals and win an NBA finals 2, 3, 4, 5 years after he retires. And so that's, if I'm the Heat, that's what I do. I'm basically saying Tyler Hero's untouchable along with Bam Adebayo. I will say this though, as far as threshold of guys I would be willing to trade Tyler Hero for, I suppose you would put Giannis in that conversation, but as far as the other guys, I wouldn't do it for Drew Holiday. Like I said, I'm not doing it for Bradley Beal.
I know.
It's Dame Lillard.
Yeah. Dame Lillard. Yeah. I knew it. Dame Lillard. And, oh, I will add another name that you probably did not consider. Donovan Mitchell.
I wouldn't do it for Donovan Mitchell.
Really?
I wouldn't do it for Donovan Mitchell. To me, Donovan Mitchell is still plagued by some of the inconsistencies. He doesn't fit with Bam the way that Hero does. And I really do. I think Donovan Mitchell is really, really good. I don't know that his upside is significantly higher than Tyler Hero's. And maybe that sounds like crazy, but I mean, Hero's a much more natural outside shooter than Donovan Mitchell is.
I think it's the athleticism. And I think that's a pretty big gap there between Mitchell.
Sure. I think you can argue that the same gap between their athleticism exists in their shooting ability. Like, yeah. Donovan Mitchell can get streaky, but he's going to probably be streaky for his whole career. Where I think Tyler Hero, you look at where the league's going with 3-point shooting being more and more important. Man, I don't know. Defensively, like the way Hero competes versus the way like Mitchell doesn't all the time.
Gambles, yeah, a lot, yeah.
He does gamble. I kind of like Hero's basketball feel more than Mitchell's. Even though Mitchell's is really, really good, you know that I'm a big fan of Donovan Mitchell, but I don't know that Mitchell's upside is that much higher than Hero's.
Well, kind of putting a pin on everything here or encapsulating the whole talk about Tyler and his tradability. We'll go back to some recent comments from Pat Riley when he made during his postseason media presser. He said, this is a quote from Riley, "His improvement, I think, will even go to another level as he gets older. He just turned 20. He had a great year. He got better, not just as a shooter, but as a shot maker. He got better in handling the ball. He's a very, very efficient offensive player. He got better as a playmaker. His vision, he started to see other plays because he could take it to the rack. He's a great kid. He works hard, and we have somebody very, very special in him." So I think that kind of sums it up very neatly there, that as far as the Heat perspective is concerned, it kind of fits alongside exactly what we're talking about. There are very few players that they would be willing to trade Hero for. They see him as a piece that they could potentially build around, a guy who's going to be with his team long term. He's a core player moving forward. Like Riley kept talking about the young core, and Hero was at the forefront of that. He also spoke, unfortunately, about Kendrick Nunn being a big part of that young core. So I'm not sure how seriously you can take any of that talk. But I think with Hero, it's probably a lot more seriously. You invested an early round pick in him. You saw him develop. You see the work ethic. They love that sort of thing about Hero. So to me, he is a part of this team for the next few years at least, and somebody that they see they can potentially build around. So as far as then the next steps as far as his development are concerned, we talked about his defense could change a little bit, maybe he could be a little bit more aggressive in getting to the rim. Anything else? I mean, as far as his playmaking ability, I think we started to see the kind of leaps that we expected from him in the playoffs and in the Orlando bubble. Other than that, I don't think there's much more that you could possibly say. No. Like, I think he's going to tighten up some of those inconsistencies on a scoring perspective. He's a better playmaker than we give him credit for. He's a solid rebounder. His defense can improve. But other than that, I don't think there's much else. He is potentially a star in the making. And I really strongly believe that.
Well, I think the only thing that is left for him to do is just the Heat need to give him more responsibility. I think that he should be the starting point guard next year. And you bring Goran Dragic off the bench if he's still around. And just give him more. Like, he has always taken what he's been given and made the most of it, right? We saw him with increased responsibility in the postseason and do a phenomenal job with it. just give him more responsibility. He's earned it. And he's just going to get better within that role. He starred in his role, to use a coach's cliche, as a rookie. I think you continue to put more on his plate, and he's going to make the most of it. And he's going to continue to just get more consistent, get better at all these other finer things, because he's going to have more of an opportunity to do that.
Well, there you have it. Wes Goldberg joining me here for our latest exit interview on Tyler Hero. I'll continue bringing you the latest rumors and news from around the NBA and looking ahead to the NBA draft. If you want to stay up to date, what better way to do that than by subscribing and following this podcast to get the latest episodes as soon as they're out. I'm David Mill, signing off and thanking you as always for your support. We'll